The unrest on university campuses has raised a very powerful question. Are our education systems healthy or corrupt? Are we giving the best to our children, to our students? There's clearly a problem, because a university was always lauded as being the ultimate example of academic excellence, free thought, open inquiry, healthy discussions. All opinions are welcome. But when universities turn political with agendas, you have to wonder what's happening in our whole education system. Look at students. You ask them, what do they stand for? They don't even know. And you couple that with technology and social media and all the forces that are inundating us. Impressionable minds. Are people getting a healthy education? And more importantly, what is education? So now we have an opportunity to ask that most important question. Has our education system failed us? How to raise healthy children? Please join me in this discussion. And let's explore the very anatomy of what is a human being. What is education? What is its goal? And that is definitely a healthy journey. And perhaps we can realign the very focus that lies at the center of the shaping of the minds of the next generation. Hi, this is Simon Jacobson, and we will be speaking about, have our education systems failed us? How to raise healthy children. This program is dedicated by Enid Solon, in memory of Dr. Michael Solon and Shlomo Ben Label. When problems happen, there are two ways to look at it. You'll either say, oy vey, what's going on? Sigh, resignation, hopelessness. Or you say, what is this problem teaching me? What light is it shedding? Like any symptom, when you feel pain, nobody likes pain. But pain is a sign that there's something wrong. Our education systems are under attack. With the unrest on the campuses and so many other signs like that, it's time to look not just at the symptoms, what's going on? What are we doing with our children? Our education systems, have they lost their way? And what is education in the first place? Now is the time to ask these questions, because the future is at stake. What is being planted in our children's minds, in students' minds? And when you add into the equation all the technology and the social media and all the commercialization of trying to capture us and releasing dopamine so we should become addicted to our gadgets and to our games and to our whatever it is, it is a war. And that's when it's more important than ever to dig deeper and ask ourselves, who is the human being? Who is my child? Who is my student? And what should they be learning? What is education? So let's begin with a simple premise. When you're comfortable and prosperous I don't necessarily mean you have to be the wealthiest person, but things are going well. Apathy usually settles in and our values get blunted. We're not so crystal clear of what we stand for because we don't have to fight for it. Therefore, it's no surprise when people ask, what is the purpose of education? To teach you a career, how to make money, how to make a lot of money. And the more money you make, the more successful you are, because then you can buy things, the more free you are. Someone that answers that answer to what is education, I can tell you right now, they've not thought about it, they've never been challenged. It's coming from the easy answer. Yeah, get yourself a doctor, make so much and so much at some point after you repay your student loans. A lawyer, a financier, you know. Now, obviously, there's always an element of idealism, things that you like, things that are serving people. But a lot of it is about material success and comfort and finance, making money. What is the real meaning of education? The meaning of education is to develop character, to actualize the potential of a person, and to live up to their mission in life. That's the single most important thing, to create a mensch, to create a human being that will shine, that will not be a parasite, that will not be a narcissist, that will not be selfish, but someone that will give off light and illuminate others and transform their corner of the world into a beautiful garden. That's education. It's not about data and knowledge and information. That's part of it. That's knowing things. It's about methodology, how to think, not just what to think. To use knowledge, how to use knowledge toward good ends. You could have a lot of knowledge data and be clueless. You could also be very destructive. We've seen that as well. And the more knowledge you have, when it's misdirected and you don't have a moral center, can be the most destructive of all. I know this example is overused, but look at the Nazis. They didn't call themselves a third world barbaric tribal country. They had philosophy, the arts, the sciences, and prided themselves in it, universities. But when you don't have the soul, when you don't have a moral compass, what happens? Doctors were experimenting on innocent children without anesthesia. Scientists were devising methods of killing more people in an hour in a way also that leaves the least amount of remains, least amount of trauma in those that are doing the killing. You're suddenly using all your advancements toward destruction, insensitively, loss of heart and soul, loss of God. You become your own God, you've decided. So we have many examples, too many, of knowledge being hijacked, of knowledge being abused, of knowledge being raped, and being used for the most destructive purposes. So clearly, that's not education. That's a person who's using education and knowledge for criminal ends. That's worse than a savage who doesn't have the education. Education is the molding of a soul, of a character, of a personality, of a human being that is exemplary in its ability to give, to be sensitive, to be compassionate, to care for those that may have less, and never to discriminate, and never to have hate. So essentially, it's a spiritual dimension to education. I'm using that word because some people don't like that word. So when you have children, they're born into your home, into your life. What's your first goal? It's not just to feed them information. Obviously, you want to teach them to know, to understand, but you want to teach them to be beautiful human beings, loving human beings. What is knowledge? What is information if you don't have love? If you don't have trust, if you don't have security, if you don't have the nurturing? As some point out, it's not that today we have a lower rate of illiteracy. Is that today illiterate people know how to read? We read more and more about less and less. Knowing how to read does not make you a literate person. A literate person is someone who knows how to interpret what's being read. So the first place you're looking, you look at universities, you look at schools, and you see shootings in schools, you see protests, you see behavior that is not befitting in a library. In places that are meant to be open discussion, everybody's welcome, then you know that that education is not happening here, not true education. And that's why it's a time to create a revolution, a time to change the systems from the core, from the outset. What are the most important things to teach? I remember hearing a talk, an excellent talk. It was given by a British child psychologist. I think one of the big TED Talks. We explained that elementary school is actually a name, a military name given by Ferdinand the Great and Napoleon, who focused the schools on producing military children, children who grow up to be good military people. So it's based on all the physical, very sciences, mathematics, science, and the arts, music, and the arts were seen as extracurricular. For the creative minds, a child's mind is fertile and is drawn to imagination, to dreaming. When you take the child and turn him into a clerk, or her, into an efficient machine, you're basically suffocating that child's soul. The children need most is to dream, is to imagine, is to explore. Yes, there'll be a time they need a tool chest and to learn the technical how to add, how to subtract, and other rules of the game. But it's not about just knowing how to drive the car, it's knowing where to drive the car to. Where's the ship going? Where's my life going? What's my mission in my life? When's the last time you heard that in the school? What's the mission statement of your life? No business can function without a mission statement, even basic business 101. And human beings are being trained and taught they have no idea what their mission is. Is the mission to build a great career, make a lot of money? That's the mission? That's not a mission. A mission is how are you going to contribute your verse to creating a better narrative, to creating a beautiful, a better world. And we have to define what that means. A better world. It means a world not driven just by self-interest and the selfish gene. It's a life of service, a life of giving off light, being a giver. All this is gone from the discourse. I'm not saying completely. I think America fundamentally does believe in this, but we've become lethargic, couch potatoes. Because of our comforts, and they weren't challenged. When they're challenged, then you suddenly realize, what am I fighting for? But now when we see what's happening, campuses burning, and the other crises happening in our school systems, and for that matter in general society, but especially there, the place that was always meant to be where war should not be fought, the place that was meant to protect our children and the young minds from the outside hostilities that they will inevitably have to face anyway. When you see there that being intruded, invaded upon, that's like what we talk the ultimate abuse growing up in a home, which is a war zone. What does that do to a child? It's trauma. And how many people are protesting that? So our students are being brought to the altar for someone else's agenda. They don't even know it. We need a revolution in education and realize what true education is. Education doesn't end with school. Your whole life is education. You're constantly learning to refine yourself. You're constantly growing, becoming more sensitive, more caring. Education is not about gathering facts and data. It's about shaping a life. Let me share with you a story. Years ago, when my book, Toward a Meaningful Life, was first published, so I went on a speaking tour across the whole country, met many people. It's a story I heard in Chicago. I was there in the Barnes & Noble, and someone came over to me and told me this story. A young woman, she lived in Toronto, but she came to visit Chicago because that's where her mother lived. Her mother was already aging and ailing. She had cancer. The doctors had given up hope. She was in terrible pain. But her daughter would come to visit her. At that point, she already was ready to sign a DNR. Too much pain, she said. I can't deal with it anymore. What's the point of my life? The daughter didn't argue with her, but the daughter would come and talk to her, give her books to read. My book had come out and published, so she bought a book, and she brought it to her mother. Her mother wasn't able to read, simply because of her pain. So she said, you read. So the daughter asked her, what chapter do you want me to read? So she said, read the chapter, the names. Two chapters jumped out at her. One was pain and suffering, and the other was education, because she was an educator by profession for many years. And her daughter tells me, this is what I read. She just told me the select key lines. I read to my mother, what is education? Education is not just being a school teacher or a parent teaching children different subjects. You're shaping lives. You're taking a soul that came down to this world and helping guide it, empower it to shine with its unique light. And that does not end when school ends. The teacher, the parent, shapes that life forever. So it's generational. That was one thing. She was very touched by it, being a teacher most of her life. The second chapter on pain and the second chapter she read, sections from pain and suffering, was that when you calculate your life purely on a very like a mathematical way, you make two columns, the good things that happen to you and the bad things that happen to you. Very often the bad, painful suffering will outnumber the positive events in pure quantity. But that's quantity. What about quality? So if you make that calculation, you could say it's not worth it. It's not worth living. Because there's more pain than there is joy. But when you think of quality, that everything in life, even your painful moments, have a purpose, and you grow from it, and you learn from it, then the calculation is not based on the numbers game. The mother, hearing these two points, called the doctors in and said she does not want to sign that document. It's true, I'm in pain, but I have a lot to celebrate. I have a lot to say thanks for. I was a teacher. I shaped lives. And we don't measure things purely by the moment or how long the pain is. You look at the whole picture, and the whole picture is a good one. So it's not like she had less pain, but she was able to endure it. She understood the deeper meaning of education and life itself. We need more conversations like that. We need to bring that to the table. And it resonates. This is not an agenda. This isn't like taking a side. This is makes everybody healthier. We need to be able to talk to our children, who are you? You're not just a physical body with limbs and organs. You're a soul. A soul waiting to be released. You were blessed with certain talents and skills, with a unique personality. And I, as a parent, I'm like a gardener. I don't create the soul, but like a gardener, you weed the garden. You plant the seeds. You nurture it. You water it. You weed it. And then the flowers emerge. The children are those flowers. This is what we need to be speaking about. And as the children grow from the younger age to older age and they go to higher education, the education has to continue with that spirit, in that spirit, with that in mind. This is all lacking. Instead, they're debating whether there should be graduation, commencement, should people go to classes. It all is rooted in a very, very, I would say, deteriorated erosion of the core values. Yes, I've read Harvard's core values and Yale's core values, but their presidents had no problem saying that genocide of the Jews is based on context, if it's inappropriate. Where do all the values go? Selectively choosing whom to protect, whom to defend, which minority. Time for a revolution, my friends. Let's lead this revolution, a grassroots revolution, to demand from our schools, from our teachers, from our parents, from our governments, to support the single most important thing, the shaping of the souls, the lives of the next generation, which in turn will affect the generation after them. But we have a catch-22 here. The parents and the educators are part of the problem. And they're the ones that control what is being fed to their children. So there's an interesting statement at the end of the Talmud. It says in one of the tractates that in the future there'll be a seemingly negative sign. Chutzpah. The young will shame the old. And there's a verse in the book of Malachi in the Tanakh that says that the hearts of the parents will return through the hearts of the children. So it's the children that can actually create a revolution in their parents. We need to recognize and respect the innocence, the purity of our children. Learn from them. Very often when parents come over to me and say, bless my child, I'll say, my blessing is get out of the way, let the child grow. Let him be himself, let her be herself. And if you want to be support, be of support, but support to that child. Don't try to shape the child into you. Learn from the child. It's a second chance that every adult has to learn from your child. Look at their exuberance, their enthusiasm, their natural honesty, lack of duplicity. All these things, all these negative vices, all come from what they learn from adults. Learn from them. Let them turn your heart. That's all part of education. So it's not just the teacher to the student, the parent to the child. It's also recognizing that you're learning more from your student than you may be teaching. If you allow that human touch, the soul to come into play, it's your soul. You're blessed, you're older, more seasoned, more knowledgeable. So you offer what you teach. But there's another dynamic going on, which is less tangible. Souls interacting, the communion of souls, of kindred spirits. That's all part of education. Where's all that being lost, what, on the battlefields of these protests? Who's even thinking about it? How many children, as we speak, how many students are falling? And I don't mean falling physically, spiritually, morally, ethically, emotionally, psychologically. No one's thinking about that because people's interests, self-interests, whatever they may be, are dominating. And they'll use whatever it takes and abuse and hurt the people that need most our support. So there's much to be said about education today. But above all, let us revisit the very definition and the goals of our education systems. And need be, let's correct them, or let's create new ones. That will be the true revolution of the 21st century. The rising, the dawn of a new approach, a spiritual revolution, an educational revolution that is based on spirit, on soul, on purpose, on mission. We could change the world, one person at a time, and tip those scales. Today we can reach a critical mass. It's not as difficult. The technology, each of us sharing, like a flame that lights another flame, and lights another flame ad infinitum, without the first flame being diminished. On the contrary, they all strengthen each other. And it becomes stronger and stronger until we create an eruption of light, of joy, of love, which is the true meaning of education. Not just discipline, but beauty. Not just rules, but light. And we can transform this world, in the words of Isaiah, into a world where there'll be no more evil and destruction, because the world will be filled with divine knowledge. Knowledge, but divine knowledge. As the waters cover the sea. Thank you. Simon Jacobson here, meaningfullife.com is our website where you can find this and many other materials. Please subscribe to our offerings. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your feedback. And please share. It's all about sharing. Let one flame light another flame, on and on and on, until we transform this world into the most beautiful possible world, a garden with so many beautiful, diverse flowers, all complementing each other in a tapestry, in a mosaic of unprecedented beauty and harmony. Thank you again, and be well.
This program is brought to you by the Meaningful Life Center. Please help us continue our programs. Make even a small contribution at meaningfullife.com/donate.